In our first story, surprise, surprise, and I suppose what you're going to hear from Martin is I told you so. The petrol price increase is going to take us to 15.45 at the beginning of August after a 34% increase in 95 unleaded fuel inland. Obviously, the coastal region is different to that, but 15.45, and at the moment we're on 15.12 for a litre of 95 fuel. And you know, what's interesting, gentlemen, is that during lockdown, when we all couldn't drive our cars, the lowest point we hit was 12.22. You know, besides Lawrence saying "I told you so," you know, are we going to get to a point where on 1 January we were on 16.16? So that was the highest point in 2020. We're not quite at the high point yet. We're going to 15.45 at the beginning of August. That's predicted. What do you think? Where do you think this is going to go? Do you think it's going to go north of 16.16?
The silver lining here, George, mm-hmm. is that it's stabilized. We're not seeing massive fluctuations in either direction now. We're sort of just seeing the small little incremental ones that come with the price of oil. I think with everything that's happening in China, everything that's happening in the Middle East, the elections coming up in the US, everybody is sort of just taking a step back and just saying, okay, let's just see what happens before anything else. And what that's done is it just caused a stabilization. So price of oil is stabilized, which means our petrol price is going to stabilize, and is really only then tacked onto the rand US dollar exchange.
I'm not convinced. I think it's just going to hit the roof. It's going to go 17 rand, knowing our government, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, more reason to drive electric cars.
I'm kind of with Wandy there. I think we're going to hit 19 rands a litre before the end of the year.
That's my prediction.
So let's see if I'm right or not.
I hope you're wrong, Martin. It's the first time I've ever said that. I hope you're wrong.
So do I. So do I, because my car drinks copious quantities of 95.
Which one? That Land Rover?
No, George, the Land Rover is still broken.
Oh, freaking hell. When are you going to get this flipping thing going? We all want to know. Where's the picture, by the way?
I actually haven't visited the Land Rover in a while. I see the workshop.
I see you haven't given the Land Rover a name. Does the Land Rover have a name?
Oboss.
Why? Because it's old or because it's broken?
Yes.
Yes to both. interesting stuff. Well, in another story, Audi South Africa has announced an affordable service plan for older models. Now, this is interesting because, you know, everybody buys a car. Not everybody buys a new car, but, you know, when you buy a car, it's always a good idea to buy one with a service plan, because then, you know, the service plan is taken care of in the cost of the vehicle. You tack the cost of the service plan onto the cost of the vehicle. But that often, and in all circumstances, I guess, eventually runs out. And Audi South Africa now has announced that there is an affordable service plan for some of their older models. And this announced service plan starts at 4,800 Rand, and it covers two oil change services over 2 years or 30,000 kilometers, whichever comes first, at an approved Audi dealership, of course. And the plan includes a comprehensive roadside assistance from Audi Assist and can be purchased from any Audi model. Interesting. That is between 6 and 13 years of age, but there is a mileage limit of 270,000 kilometers. How many kilometers has your Land Rover done, Martin?
About 180,000.
Oh, she's a baby.
It started breaking down at 40.
Okay. Well, there's a mileage limit on these Audis for the service plan of 270,000, or should I say, 270,000 kilometers. And can also be topped up at any Audi dealership in order to cover major service requirements as well. So, you know, not only is it 4,800 Rand for the service plan, you can top it up. There are many older Audis out in the vehicle market. Actually, let's have a quick look on autotrader.co.za to see how many Audis there are available for sale. 2,907 Audis available for sale on autotrader.co.za. Let's see how many of those are under 200. All of them are under 270,000 kilometers on autotrader.co.za.
I think it'll help people sleep at night, right? Like the Audi R8, for instance, is notoriously known to break down the older it gets. So I think it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Well, what I want to calculate is how old is 6 years? 6 years takes us to 2014 and older. Is that right? So at the moment, we want a maximum year of 2016. And if we go for a maximum...
I have to say, though, I'm not convinced by this service plan idea. That comes down to two services for 2,400 rand a piece.
Don't derail me, Martin. I'm on a roll.
Far out of warranty.
I'm on a roll. 1,513 Audis available for sale on Autotrader right now that are older than 2016. So there you go. If you go onto autotrader.co.za and you go and buy an Audi, there's 1,500 of them available, and you can go and get a service plan on them. All right. So back to Martin. Sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, sorry about that, George.
Don't apologize to me.
If your car is 6 years old, if your Audi is 6 years old, it's not under warranty anymore. And in that case, it makes pretty much no sense to take it to an Audi dealership for a service in any case.
What?
I can guarantee you can get the same oil service at an aftermarket franchised workshop, or, well, let's call it a chain workshop, for about half that price.
But it includes roadside assistance as well. It's not just the service. It's more than just changing your oil.
So you could pay, I think, $400 a year for AA membership, which will also give you free roadside assistance.
Do you hate Audi, Martin? Is that the...
No, actually not. The best car.
He likes Land Rover, especially the ones that don't drive.
No, I just don't see the real. I just don't see real value for smart shoppers in this service plan. I'm sorry.
What are smart shoppers?
Well, smart shoppers, people who actually think before they swipe their credit cards.
So personal.
Smart shopper.
I can promise you, Wandy, an R8, for instance, which will cost a fortune to service, will not get that service plan extension for 4,800 rand. It starts at 4.8, so that means you're probably going to pay 4,800 for a 1.9 TDI A4 or something. That's cheap to service in any case. And again, I think in the long run, you're going to lose more on interest. And just by paying more than it's actually worth, I'm not convinced.
On the next show, I want you to come and bring me how much it would be for an R8, and then we'll weigh the pros and cons.
That's a good idea. Let's put Martin on the spot. Next time, Martin, you come back with what does it cost to service an R8?
All right, I'll find out.
Have watched somebody do it, and I can promise you, removal of the rear end of the car to change spark plugs is, your labor costs are going to be quite high.
Except that the spark plugs on those things last 400,000 kilos.
Yeah.
Well, there are 34 R8s on Autotrader for sale older than 2016. So there is a good reason to go and get the service plan. So Martin, you come back with is that your commitment? Are you coming back with a calculation
for next day?
You'll find it out.
And I'll also find out how much the service plan for an R8 will cost.
Good idea. In the same vein.
I'll buy you dinner. How's that? Let's put a.
You can't. You have to buy him freaking takeaways. It's lockdown. You can't buy him dinner. Mr. Delivery. It's a courtesy of one Dili Sishi. Here's your dinner, Martin. McDonald's. And on the same vein, what's the difference between a warranty service plan and a maintenance plan? Lawrence Martin, you know, I know you guys wrote something about this in about February. Well, Arne wrote about it. But what is the difference between a warranty service plan and maintenance plan? Because often people get confused. Oh, I have a service plan. I have a maintenance plan. I have a warranty. But they are different. What are the differences?
Speak to the warranty. The warranty is basically the manufacturer saying, my product is this good and I'm guaranteeing it for X amount of time. So if anything happens to the car during that time that falls within certain parameters, you bring the car back to us, we fix it for Mahala. As far as the difference between a maintenance plan and a service plan, yeah, I'll let Martin explain that.
Well, before you get to the difference, Martin, let's first, it's probably safe to say or a good idea to say that when it comes to a warranty, it does not include wear and tear parts. So when Lawrence says something breaks, if your brakes wear down, breaks.
That was what I was saying.
There are four of them, Martin. Last time I checked, there were four sets of brake pads on the car. If your brakes wear down, your brake pads wear down, that is a maintenance cost. It's not under the warranty, right, Lawrence?
Correct. Okay, so any wear items, so clutches, suspension parts, brake pads, fluid refills, batteries, key fob batteries, anything like, you know. You really have to read the owner's manual, exactly what the warranty covers. And there usually is quite a lengthy list of exclusions attached to that, the things that they won't replace. And, you know, in some cars, they will cover the steel of the body, and other manufacturers won't. So if you live by the coast and you have a certain car and it rusts through and you take it back to them after 2 years, they're going to tell you, sorry, you should have read your owner's manual.
Well, so read the small print is what you're saying in the warranty.
When it comes to the warranty, yes.
Martin.
With the service plan and the maintenance plan.
Well, let's give Martin this one because he's, you know, in your own words, he's better placed to unpack these differences. So
the difference between a service plan and a maintenance plan, a service plan essentially just covers the normal scheduled service items. In other words, every 15,000 Ks or whenever the car decides, if you have a BMW or some such, it will receive an oil change, it will receive new filters, it will get a new pollen filter and spark plugs and the like, as stipulated according to the maintenance schedule. So that's the service plan, but the maintenance plan adds a whole bunch of other things. Maintenance plans also include generally wear and tear items like the brakes or the clutch or CV joint boots or suspension bushes. There are still some exclusions regarding the maintenance plan, but it's far less than you'd get with a warranty, for instance.
Does a maintenance plan cover everything
in the warranty? Covers the service. So rather see a maintenance plan as an expanded service plan that covers some wear items as well.
Okay, that's a good description. I like that description. You know, so really go and have a look at the fine print because warranties do not cover everything. And as Lawrence points out, there is fine print. And as Martin points out, the service plan and the maintenance plan are nuancedly different is what I'm hearing, right, Martin?
That's correct, George.
That's correct. So moving on to the next story, and that is everybody knows we're in lockdown and, you know, your license might have expired. Be that your driver's license, be that your learner's license, be that your car license. And we've had some extensions. Most of them, I think, are up to 90 days. The licensing departments are inundated. We are battling to get appointments. If you try and go and get an appointment for one of your licenses, you're gonna wait. But the trouble is, what if that 90-day period expires? So now the AA is calling on all South Africans to petition for a license renewal extension. Wandi, tell us the detail about what this license renewal extension actually means and what we have to look out for, you know, if the AA get this right. And the AA is the Automobile Association, if you didn't know.
I think something to highlight is if you have a driver's license and it expires, you're still fine. You don't have to. There's no real big challenge there. You just have to go and renew it. When it's convenient to you.
Well, yes, but if your driver's license expires, because we spoke about this, I think I unpacked it last Friday. Your driving test is an indefinite thing. Your driving test is valid forever until they change it under the new laws that are being proposed. But your driver's license card expires. Now, if your driver's license card expires and you go over the extension period under lockdown, you can still get fined. You can still get pulled off the road, right?
Correct. So yeah. that's kind of, but you won't have to go and redo a test or anything like that.
No.
Whereas what the AAA is really upset about, or what they want people to petition about, is for people who have temporary licenses or a learner's license, which expires and has a set date before you have to go and redo a test. So they just essentially just want the government to allow for an additional leeway for people who essentially had their temporary licenses expiring, so they don't have to go and redo. Now, the challenge is not necessarily the extension, but the fact that during COVID, if somebody in a testing station, for instance, gets the virus, it's closed until they get healthier.
Yeah.
It's closed indefinitely until, you know, they can reopen. It's not necessarily something to do with an extension, but rather that's just the situation that we're all in. So the lines are kind of blurred with regards to what happens in that scenario. Do you have to go to Durban to go do your test now because, you know, in Gauteng they're all closed? And it's just basically they're just asking the government, please, can you work with us during all of this confusion?
Okay, so let's follow that closely. But the AAA is petitioning and calling on all South Africans to lobby for this license renewal extension. And as Wandile unpacks it there, it is potentially a risky thing for you to drive without a license, because you can get fined if this extension period expires, which I think expires at the end of August, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah, end of August, and then back to square one, we're fighting again and confusion again. So,
okay.
Important.
Yeah. Well, leading from that, so if your license of your vehicle, or your driver's license for that matter, has expired, and you haven't been able to renew it, will your insurance pay out? Because these things have ramifications. What's ramifications? I don't know what ramifications are, but it has ramifications. And so if your driver's license or your car license has expired and the extension period at the end of August has come and gone, which is kind of a month and a half away now, will your insurance company pay out? Now, we've heard some instances where people have got SMSs and communication to say that their insurance companies will pay out. I think that if you're listening to this, go and ask your insurance company to give you confirmation of whether they will pay out or not. If your licenses expire after the end of August, don't wait until the end of August to do it. Even if your license expires in September and you go past the 21 days allowed for your car license, or your driver's license expires in September, which is post the extension period, then you still can't get an appointment and you can't get your license renewed, then do it now. Because come the middle of September, what if the insurance company turns around and says to you no? So rather get the confirmation now. I mean, what do you think, Mr. Sishi?
Well, there's no harm, right? And that's coming back to the story that we just said. You know, you don't really know when things are going to get back to normal. So rather just be on the safer side. You know, I personally don't know. My insurance has not told me anything. So I'm potentially at risk if I am in an accident. So just rather safe than sorry. Double check. It doesn't hurt to just protect yourself.
Exactly. Anyway, on to a bit of home shopping. Hijackers, they've got a new tactic. They are, because there's not as many cars on the road because of lockdown, hijackers are now following people to their homes. And it's hijacking still remains a serious threat. And they're now targeting home workers. So driveways are now classed as prime hijacking hotspots. People are going to put up those, you know, you get those hotspot signs that you see at some intersections. The stay-at-home message is served to embolden car hijackers during the time of fear and uncertainty, and this is has actually happened to a few people, and that is they get hijacked in their driveway. So just be careful, because hijackers are still out there. They're still doing their thing. They've just changed their modus operandi. So how do you protect yourself in your driveway? And if you're working from home and you're fearful of getting hijacked, how do you counteract this threat? So beef up your personal security is the first thing. You know, how do you do that? Ensure that the gates can't be lifted off the rails. So, you know, many of these electric gates that we have now, or not now, but for a long time, especially the older ones, you can lift those rollers straight off its rail. If somebody can't lift that gate off its rail, they can't get to you. And thieves and hijackers, they won't hang around for too long. If it's difficult for them to get to you, they will go on their merry way, and hopefully don't do this to somebody else. So check for vulnerable spots where a fence can be bypassed. So where your wall, go and do a perimeter check around your house and check where your vulnerable spots are, because what you don't want is people getting into your property, because that's how you're going to potentially be hijacked. Install burglar bars on windows and security gates on and all doors. And then while working from home, avoid leaving high-value items on display. Don't say, look at me, because that might just attract people to come and steal from you. You guys ain't got any other tips. How do you protect yourself?
Be aware of your surroundings.
So from Martin, be aware of your surroundings. Wendy?
Yeah, I stay in a security village. We have, I wouldn't say armed security at the main gate, but if you don't have an appointment or a code to get in here, they ain't letting you through the gate. We had an instance with the courier companies that are now dropping things off. One of our colleagues had the courier company got hit in the entranceway to their complex. That's also something. It's just keep your eye on that. But yeah. I can't exactly say to everybody, get some security at your gate, because that's not an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I think.
Martin?
Yeah, be aware of your surroundings. If you see anything, let's say you're approaching your house, you see another car following you, or you're about to leave the house and you see a suspicious looking car or something that you haven't seen close to your house, rather be safe than sorry, and make sure that it's that the situation is actually safe.
Yeah, if you belong to a security company, call them.
Sorry, George.
If you belong to a security company, call them before you leave your house, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because in the end, your safety is down to your down to yourself. It's your own responsibility to make sure, or to try and make sure, that you remain as safe and secure as possible.
I mean, we'd all love to think that security is up to the police or the security is up to your security company. But at the end of the day, you are responsible for your own security and safety. You're absolutely right. You know, not that they can abdicate, but you know, you got to look after yourself.